Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm
on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And on today's show, we're going to be hearing from United Way of Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo. But before we hear from them, joining me over the phone right now is Becky Benoit, who is a former homeowner with the Hillview condo up in Abbasand.
So, Becky, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes, and it's been a while since we've chatted, but in regards to Hillview, and I know this seems like this saga just continues to go on, and we've been given another update, and I know this doesn't affect you as you're a former homeowner, but maybe just for those who don't know, can you just kind of share what some of the, maybe some of your former neighbors are going to be dealing with?
So, yeah, so I mean, we're looking now at 4 years plus post-fire. And the few owners that are left that still own their units still have nowhere to live. And they are now facing yet another third special assessment where they have to come up with anywhere between $65,000 and $75,000 within 2 weeks or commit to a pretty onerous repayment plan over the next 25 years. And this assessment is in addition to the two previous assessments that have been handed down to them, which brings every owner that still owns that condo with a bill of over $120,000 in cash to come up with on top of their mortgages and on top of the now super high condo fees that are upwards of $700 a month, and they still don't have a place to live. It's so tragic. It's unbelievable. And at this point, we don't know for sure, because even the Hillview Board doesn't know accurately how many people have gone into foreclosure or gone bankrupt. But it's our understanding, just from our informal communications with the other owners, that it's a very large number of people who are no longer Hillview owners. And the problem there is that normally, in any normal situation, if you stop paying your mortgage, the bank will foreclose on your home and they will list it for sale. They will take over the title, they will sell it, and then you as a bank kind of have to settle up on what the differences are in between what they sold your property for and what you owe on it. Mm-hmm. But the problem with Hillview is there still are no properties to sell. And so the banks are just kind of sitting on their hands, and they're holding off on actually submitting that foreclosure paperwork for a lot of people. So at this point, even though there are lots of people that are no longer paying their mortgages and that have gone into foreclosure or even gone into bankruptcy, the board can't really tell who is and who isn't, because those owners' names are still sitting on the titles. And so they don't even really know. They don't know who's still an owner and who isn't. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what's going on there. And it's just an ongoing tragedy of potentially hundreds of families that have been left homeless, in foreclosure, bankrupt, lost all their savings, and we're still waiting for anyone who is in a position of power, anyone in the government, to investigate and step in and say, what happened here?
For sure.
So that's where we're at. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that it seems like quite a few, including yourself, are no longer homeowners. I know you don't have a number, but what does this mean for those who are still homeowners? Does that mean that they're going to have to pay even more? I know you mentioned quite a large number already, between I think it was like 65 and 75 thousand. If when the condo owner or condo board starts to realize that many of them aren't owners, are they, the ones that are still owners, going to be responsible for, you know, making up the remaining funds?
Well, that's the big question mark. The board currently says no, that every unit has its own bill to pay, and that bill stays attached to that property until it sells. However, what happens if the properties don't sell or can't sell? I mean, the financial health of the Hillview Corporation is dire right now. they can't make their loan payments to this construction company that we've gotten into bed with. And something that a lot of people don't know is that Hillview was forced to sign that loan with the construction company so that they would finish the work that wasn't covered by insurance, and that had to be paid for by all the owners. And now that loan payment is coming due, and Hillview can't make those payments right now. And so they're trying to scratch up money through this assessment, and they're hoping to get another bailout from the Red Cross, which, God bless Red Cross, they've helped out a lot. But from those of us who are now sitting on the outside, the question we have is, how can Red Cross sink any more donated funds into this build without doing their due diligence and asking some hard questions and doing an investigation into where this money's going? How many millions has Red Cross poured into Hillview, knowing that the majority of people who were burned out by the fire don't even own these units anymore? By pouring millions of dollars into this development, they're essentially allowing another corporation to own a development for free. They're not helping fire victims, mm-hmm. because part of that loan agreement that was signed says that the construction company, CalMac, gets first chance to purchase any foreclosed units, which means that by the end of all of this, they stand to own the development. And, you know, one of the questions that we're asking as owners and former owners is, in what scenario does anybody hire a construction company to build their house, and the construction company ends up owning their house and they end up bankrupt? It shouldn't happen. That should never happen. But that's what's happening here right now, is that our construction company that we've hired has the ability to buy the entire development at essentially for nothing when they get foreclosed on.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk about the latest update regarding Hillview.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Becky Benoit, who is a former homeowner with the Hillview condo up in Abbasand. And Becky was giving us an update in the first segment of the show, mentioning that homeowners are being asked to pay between $65,000 and $75,000 by the end of the month, or they'll have to go on a payment plan. So, Becky,
I know it's been a while since we've talked, so I need to get a little bit, a refresher. I know we've in the past have talked about two different assessments that have cost homeowners quite a bit. You mentioned this is the third assessment. Is this brand new that's just being brought up right now, or is this something that's been mentioned before?
No, it's not. It's a brand new assessment that's separate from the other two. That's for the grand total of $120,000+ altogether. When you add the three assessments up together that have been loaded onto owners since the fire, and we're talking about people that are still paying their mortgages and they're still paying rent in another place to live. Many people have lost their jobs due to the downturn in the economy. I mean, that happened to my husband early on in this process, shortly around the time of the fire. And so we're talking about this massive, crippling debt that is just impossible for anybody to pay.
It's definitely, and you mentioned $120,000 over the three assessments per household.
Yep.
That is, when you hear that number, what goes through your mind?
Oh, it's absolute shock and disgust, especially when you consider that when Hillview signed that loan, they had a company do an evaluation of how much they thought the units would be worth when they were finished. And that number for a finished unit came in under $200,000. So you've got your mortgage to pay, you've got $120,000 in assessments, and you've got $700 a month in condo fees that you're paying in order to hang on to a unit that's going to be worth less than $200,000. So for most of us, it just made the most financial sense to let our credit ratings go, to give up our savings, our retirements. For us, it was our retirements and our children's education savings that we burned through, and to just try and start over, because it just doesn't make sense to keep throwing more money into these black holes of debt. And there was another person, a journalist, who was up there on the site this weekend, And they told us that the site is a mess. There are cracked windows. There's siding peeling off. So many owners have real concerns about the actual quality of these units. Are they even going to be safe for people to move into once they're rebuilt? Who's going to fix all these problems? Who's replacing the broken windows? Who's putting back up the peeling siding? Is this construction company going to be here? Is CalMat going to be here to help people out? You know, after the build is done and the dust is settled and the loan is paid, we don't have any confidence in that.
For sure. I guess the million-dollar question I'm going to ask you here is...
more like a $77 million question.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do you believe that this is going to be finished? I know I've asked you this question so many times. So many homeowners, or I guess they're not even homeowners anymore. Do you think this build is going to get finished, and is it even worth finishing right now?
I honestly don't know. I mean, for a very small group of owners right now, maybe it will. Maybe they will get home. It's a tiny little group compared to who was living in Hillview at the time of the fire. But I would say whether or not those condos get done, and that's a huge question mark right now. We still don't have, there's no possession date. Nobody's getting keys anytime soon. So even if they get done and they ever get finished, the majority of people here aren't going to end up being owners. So for people like us, no, they never will get done because we never get to move back into that home of ours.
Once again, that was Becky Benoit, former Hillview homeowner, talking about the latest update regarding the condo. So if you're looking for more information, make sure you head to the Mix News page. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to be chatting with the United Way of Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo as they talk about how much of a struggle it's been over the past couple of months.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me over the phone right now is Andrea Hine with the United Way of Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo. Thank you so much for taking a couple minutes out of your day to come on the show.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
And it's no surprise that Fort McMurray is dealing with quite a lot right now. We're dealing with COVID-19. We're dealing with the aftermath of the flood. We're dealing with a downturn in the economy. We're dealing with lower oil prices. It seems like the list keeps going on and on. So the one organization that seems really perfect to come on and talk right now is United Way, as you guys support so many different organizations in the community that support so many people here. So maybe just to start off with, how have the last couple of months been for the organization?
Well, thanks for recognizing us. The thing about United Way is we do a lot of work behind the scenes, and our time to shine is really going forward. How do we recover from everything that's gone on? I've lived in Fort McMurray for 10 years now, and between low oil and the coronavirus and flooding, like, it really feels like we're being kicked when we're down. So part of what we're doing at United Way right now is to frame what does recovery look like in our region? How do we make sure that everyone's successful going forward in the next 6, 12, 18 months? So, this is a very different situation than what we had after the fire, where we had lots of resources coming to our community. The reality is everyone nationally, internationally is dealing with COVID. There's less resources to go around, and we're being strategic with our funding and creating some of the same amazing partnerships that we did after the fire between Red Cross, Wood Buffalo Community Foundation, to make sure that we have the most impact in our community to make sure, again, everyone's successful going forward. So some of the work that we've been doing for the immediate response in terms of COVID is we've put up our hand when the federal government said that they were committing $9 million to help seniors as a result of COVID, because seniors are a more vulnerable population in terms of suffering from elder abuse, isolation, and we're very proud to say that the St. Aidan's was able to stand up a program for seniors in our community where they bought laptops and had high school students teach seniors how to use those laptops to curb the social isolation in our community. So little things like that is what we've been doing, is making sure that funds come to our community to make sure that our residents get what they need. And another thing for COVID is again, the federal government pledged millions of dollars across Canada for coronavirus recovery. And we're working closely with the Wood Buffalo Community Foundation because they received the same funding to be strategic in our region to help bolster a lot of the existing programs we have right now, because we suspect in the next 6 to 12 months that there's going to be a lot more outreach towards programs that people wouldn't have normally accessed, because we've seen things like increase in homelessness and domestic violence and substance abuse. So that's what we're really planning for in the future.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that United Way is getting, you know, creative when it comes to trying to get funds. I've talked to different organizations, one in particular, the Canadian Red Cross, and they said, you know, it's a struggle right now. Is that a safe assumption for the United Way as well?
Yeah, 100%. What you see in industry right now, and all of us know what's going on in industry, especially in Fort McMurray, is the same thing that you're seeing in the social space. So yes, we're getting creative with our funds. I have to say, if I can give a few shout outs to medium and large businesses like ATB Financial, Suncor Energy Foundation, Scotia Bank, we can't thank you enough for still being able to open the purse strings and donate to COVID recovery in our region. So the people that can give really want to give, and we want to try and capture that right now. But a lot of us are not in a position to give right now.
Oh, we definitely understand that 100%. The 2019 community campaign, I know you guys raised quite a bit there, around $4.65 million, I believe. Was that all allocated before? Is there any funds that you can use to help during this time?
Yes. So the way that our funding cycle works is any money brought in during the campaign is spent for the next year, because you know, it's better to spend that money in our region instead of it just sitting for an emergency. So yeah, all that $4.6 million has been spent, but we're gonna get creative with our campaign coming in the fall, such that we can hopefully recreate the same success that we saw last year. And I actually have a meeting tomorrow where we're going to discuss what does campaign look like. Again, we're dealing with the exact same thing that everyone's dealing with in industry, where, you know, we're not going to be able to have the same big kickoff with lots of people at the field house at Mac Island this year. We're gonna have to look at doing something potentially online with social distancing, following AHS guidelines, but I there's always a silver lining in that, and potentially maybe we have a more captive audience this year, right?
For sure. You mentioned that it has been a struggle, and tying in with the community campaign and the upcoming one, do we know if you're going to have to lower the goal since it's been hard to reach the goal in previous years, or maybe have to raise it since more people may be needing different services across the community?
So I can't speak to what the goal will be this year, but, you know, in times of adversity, there's always opportunity. And the thing that really that warms my heart, and the reason why I love this community is again, those that can give really want to give. And I see that my job, full-time job is at Suncor, and my coworkers are asking me, like, where are the opportunities for me to give? And there's cases where people are giving the majority of their paycheck to our region because they just feel so passionately about it. So I believe that there's truly an opportunity in all of this. And I also believe that we need to work with our partners through the Community Foundation, Red Cross, and also work with Fuse Social to understand what does our region need and to be really strategic with our funding. And we're taking a lot of lessons from what we learned after fire recovery. When we had a lot of money come to our region, we were funding a lot of new initiatives and good programs, but this time around, we're looking at funding and bolstering a lot of the existing programming that we know works, that we know adds value to our region. So it's about being strategic, but also really taking advantage of the generosity of our region. So there's lots of opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Well, Andrea, that's pretty much all the questions I have, but is there anything else you'd like to add? Maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about.
If I can just echo again, the spirit of Fort McMurray has just been amazing. To see people helping with sandbagging at the hospital and registering flood evacuees. We did some of that work with Fuse Social, but everywhere I would turn, I'd see people where I may not know their name, but I would see them at work or at the grocery store. Like, everyone in Fort McMurray should be very proud to be a citizen of this community, and I can't thank everyone enough.
All right, well, Andrea, I really appreciate you taking a couple minutes.
Thank you.
Now that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.